We do welcome you tonight to our service. We trust the Lord will bless you as you've met with us under the sound of God's word. Our thoughts and prayers, of course, today and at this time are with our monarch, Queen Elizabeth, on the loss of her husband, the Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh. We pray that our Queen and all her family will know the comfort of the Lord in this sad time. May the God of all grace be their portion in these times. Could I just remind you of the restrictions in our building and the entering and exiting and while in the building, face coverings if you're not exempt, and also the social distancing and hand sanitizing. Do remember all of these matters, please. The baskets at the exits for your offerings, do please remember your offerings for the Lord's work as you leave the service tonight. Could I remind you of the Tuesday evening prayer meeting and Bible study this week? We're back to Tuesdays, and we encourage you to come and to join with us around the Word of God on Tuesday night. Brother James, our Clerk of Session, will be the speaker. I'll be off for a couple of weeks from tomorrow, so our Brother James will be taking the prayer meeting Tuesday night. We encourage you to come back out again. I know the vaccination program is going out widely, so it's getting less and less the number of excuses that people can have for not coming out. And so we do know there are some who cannot, of course, for various reasons, but we do urge the people of God to come out again to the place of prayer and to the services on the Lord's Day as well. Next Lord's Day, morning worship, 11:30, doors open from 11, and the prayer meeting in the youth room upstairs. Again, we emphasize this before the evening service, 6:20 to 6:45. And then in the evening time of the gospel. And the preacher and soloist of both services next Lord's Day will be Dr. William McRae. Do pray for all affected by this virus and other illnesses at this time. And as I would be off for 2 weeks' holiday, do please remember Reverend Samuel Murray will be available in case of emergency. His number is on our WhatsApp or can be contacted through the Clerk of Session. Do remind you of the LTBS appeal for Nepal. 30,000 appeal for the radio station going into remote areas there and where people are living and evangelizing and teaching ministry. So if you can help that, do pick up the leaflet as you leave the service tonight. It's at the doors. And do remember that appeal, and the details are on it as to how you can contribute to that. We're going to join in the singing of a hymn, which will be on the screen, number 533, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, a bulwark never failing, our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe does seek to work his woe, his craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. We will keep our seats as we sing. It's on the screen, and do sing moderately, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
to stand for prayer, please. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we thank Thee that the doors are open in Thy house, that the people of God can come. And we pray that those who can come will come. And we thank Thee for those who have come tonight. But Lord, we pray that Thou wilt rid us of complacency and carelessness, which can so easily creep in amongst us. And we pray, Lord, that Thou wilt help us to have diligence in our attendance at the means of grace. And we pray that Thou wilt bring us with regularity to the house of God and to the place of prayer. Lord, we have much to thank Thee for. We ought to be in God's house to give thanks. We ought to be in the place of prayer to give thanks. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt help us to do that. Help us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. While the internet is a good means, no doubt, and we have used it successfully, yet it is not a substitute for meeting together in the house of God. And so we pray that Thou wilt stir the hearts of Thy people. Deliver us from this complacency and carelessness that can so easily come in upon us. Remember others who would love to be here but cannot because of illness tonight, weakness of body, circumstances of shielding and issues, Lord, of health. We pray that Thou wilt be with them and encourage them at this time. And Lord, that Thou wilt be with them and that Thou wilt bless them and that Thou wilt draw near to them. And we pray, O God, that Thou wilt lead us on as Thy people. Thou hast protected our congregation through this, Lord, pandemic. And we thank Thee for that. And we thank Thee for those who maybe have been affected in some way and yet have recovered. And we praise Thee for that too. And we ask of Thee, Lord, that Thou wilt continue to bless us as a people and lead us on and help us to grasp, O God, while other things open up in the world which we think are important to us, yet the house of God is the most important. And so, Lord, we come to give Thee thanks tonight that these doors are open and we're here to hear Your word tonight. We thank Thee, our God and Father, for what we've been thinking about tonight. We thank Thee for, O God, what was accomplished 500 years ago. We thank Thee, O God, for the stand of Martin Luther and for all that was accomplished, even at that time. And we pray, our God and Father, that You'll help us never to forget the great sacrifices that were made and all that was accomplished under God at that time. We pray, O God, that You will meet with us tonight and that You will bless us and stir our hearts again to stand fast in the faith and to quit ourselves like men and to be strong. Heavenly Father, we pray to remember the needs of the congregation, those who are ill in hospital, those who are ill at home. We pray for them, O God, at this time. We pray for those going through treatments, that Thou wilt remember them and touch them. We pray for Dorothy in hospital and Mary. Remember Carl. We pray that Thou wilt undertake for Mary going through the treatments, that Thou wilt be with her and that Thou wilt bless her. And may she know Thy presence. And for others, O God, who are waiting, Lord, for procedures, others going through treatments. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless them and Thou wilt meet their needs at this time. And Father, we pray that the Spirit of God would come upon this land and upon this nation. We think of a nation in mourning tonight at the passing of Prince Philip. We think of the royal family tonight that was told us to pray for those in authority, and we pray for them tonight. Pray for our Queen, Queen Elizabeth, that Thou wilt comfort her and her family. And we pray that each in their hearts will know the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ and know what it is to be ready to meet the Lord. We pray that that will happen right across our nation, that men and women, young people, across our nation will be turned unto the Lord. Hear us at this time tonight. Meet with us and bless us with Thy gracious presence and do us good. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen. We're turning for our Bible reading tonight to the portion of Scripture that is upon our minds for tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and reading together from verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and the verse 8. And Paul said this, "But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do.
that no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. As touching our brother Apollos, I greatly desired to come unto you with the brethren, but his will was not at all to come at this time. But he will come when he shall have convenient time. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas is the first fruits of Achaia, and they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to every one that helpeth with us, and laboreth. Amen. And we know that God will bless the reading of his precious, inerrant, inspired, and infallible word to all our hearts. The hymn number 188 will be on the screen for you to view as we keep our seats and as we sing. 188 in our hymn book. A wonderful, wonderful word of the Lord, true wisdom, its pages unfold. And though we may read them 1,000 times o'er, they never, no, never grow. Each line has a treasure, each promise a pearl, that all, if they will, may secure. And we know that when time and the world pass away, God's word shall forever endure. 188, and it's on the screen. We keep our seats as we sing moderately.
stand for prayer, please. Our gracious God and loving Father, we turn now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail, we ask in Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen. You'll find my text tonight in the words of 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and the verse 13. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Paul said this, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." The subject tonight is here I stand. 500 years ago, on the 18th of April, 1521, Luther spoke at the Diet of Worms. When asked for a direct and precise answer to the question, "Will you or will you not retract?" Luther replied in these terms, "Since your most serene majesty and your most high mightiness require me a direct and precise answer, I will give you one. It is this: I cannot submit my faith either to the Pope or to the councils, because it is clear as day they have frequently erred and contradicted each other. Unless, therefore, I am convinced by the testimony of Scripture, or by the plain and clear grounds of reason, so that conscience shall bind me to make acknowledgement of error, I can and will not retract. For it is neither safe nor wise to do anything contrary to conscience." And then, looking round that assembly, he said, and the words are the most sublimest in history, "Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen." Martin Luther was the man used of God to commence the Protestant Reformation. And here he is being challenged by Rome some years after the commencement of the Reformation at the Diet of Worms. And the words that Luther spoke still thrill us 5 centuries later. They embolden us tonight, now in 2021, to continue to stand for the faith of the gospel, to be steadfast and earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. To stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The impression Luther's words made on princes on that day was overpowering. There was a murmur of applause, as emphatic as the respect due to the imperial presence permitted. It burst out in the Diet. Not from all, however, for its papal partisans were dismayed. Luther's no had fallen like a thunderbolt amongst them. And from that hall, no would go forth and travel throughout Christendom. It would awaken, as it rolled onward, the aspirations of liberty, and summon the nations to rise and break the yoke of Rome. You see, my friends, Rome had lost the battle. The Protestant Reformation had taken hold. After this, it mattered absolutely nothing what the champions in the Diet might do with Luther. They might burn him, but to what avail?
The fatal word had already been spoken. The decisive blow had been struck. A stake would neither reverse the defeat they had sustained nor conceal, though it might enhance the glory of the victory that Luther had won. Grievously, impressively grievous was their mortification. Could nothing be done? Luther was withdrawn, or asked to withdraw a little. And during his absence, the Diet of Worms deliberated. It was easy to see that a crisis had arisen. And not so easy to see what they were going to do. But they resolved to give him another opportunity to retract. Accordingly, he was called in again in front of the emperor's throne and asked to pronounce over again, now the third time, yes or no. With equal simplicity and dignity, he replied he had no other answer to give than that which he had already given. The die had been cast irrevocably. Luther was not for turning. The powers of the papacy were shaken. The Lord was on the side of Luther. The Lord was his strength. And the Word of God says to us tonight, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, if God be for us, who can be against us? 500 years on, tonight, God has called his church not to be moved. God has called his church to be firm and steadfast in the Word of God. Let us take courage tonight, brethren and sisters. Let us take encouragement from those who, like Luther, stood unashamedly for the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Let us think tonight for a few moments about the stand of Martin Luther. When he said, here I stand. What did Luther stand for? You know, there are many people in Ulster tonight and beyond who say they are Protestants. And they would even say they are loyalists. But my friend, we're coming to the very quick of the matter tonight in relation to what Martin Luther stood for. This is at the very heart of the Protestant faith, the Reformation, and what took place. What did Luther stand for? First of all, he stood for salvation. You see, Luther had been some time before the Diet of Worms, some years before, in 1517, Luther had been enlightened in gospel truth. And the shaft of divine light had dispelled the darkness that was his heart. And no less than three occasions, the truth of Scripture, the just shall live by faith, had come to his heart with great power. And his life was transformed in a moment of time by the grace of God. And he became a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things passed away, and behold, all things became new. And a great change took place in the heart of the monk Martin Luther. The bondage that he was held in was broken. He was set wonderfully and gloriously and eternally free. As he'd followed the teachings of Romanism, he had been seeking to merit the favor of God, going through the rituals and the penances of Rome. But now the light of the gospel had shone into his heart. And now he saw as never before that salvation was not by works, but by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us tonight that by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so Luther stepped out by faith and trusted Christ as his Savior, and he was born again of the Spirit of God. Have you stepped out by faith tonight? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been born again of the Spirit of God? He realized that pardon for sin was not by the indulgence of a pope, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Luther stood for salvation. He said, "Here I stand." He stood for the simplicity of the gospel of salvation. And that's what gripped the soul of Martin Luther. That salvation was simply by faith in Jesus Christ. You see, Rome complicated the whole matter of salvation with its rites and with its ceremonies, with all of its traditions, with its taking away and adding to the truth of the gospel, with its presentation of a false gospel, of another gospel, which is not the true gospel. And Luther at Worms stood for the simplicity of the gospel of salvation. He would not be moved. It was on this solid rock of Christ that he stood. All other ground is sinking sand. That's where we sinking sand, and that's where we stand tonight. We stand upon the truth of the gospel of Christ, the simplicity. And it's so simple that many people trip over it and don't understand it and looking for something complicated. But my friend, the gospel is so simple tonight that even the youngest child can understand. You can put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. The simplicity of the gospel of salvation. But then he also stood for the substance of the gospel. And that was something that was embraced by Luther. You see, he laid a hold upon the truth, and that great truth in the Bible, the doctrine of justification by faith alone. The just shall live by faith. And that was what was applied to the soul of Martin Luther. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thomas Watson, the Puritan, said this, "Justification is the very hinge and pillar of Christianity." Let me repeat that. Justification is the very hinge and pillar of Christianity. Our Shorter Catechism declares that justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight. Only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Justification. B.B. Warfield said this, "Justification is through faith, not on account of faith." And Watson said again, "God does not justify us because we are worthy, but justifying makes us worthy." Tozer said, "The doctrine of justification by faith is a blessed relief from the sterile legalism and unveiling self-effort." My friend, no effort is required. Christ has done the work. And all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If ever there was a man who engaged in self-effort, it was Martin Luther. But God so opened his eyes to see how futile it all was, that it was by faith in Christ that he would be justified. Pardon he would experience. Salvation would be his portion. And oh, that you might see that tonight in this meeting. He saw the simplicity of salvation. That's what he stood by. He saw also the substance of salvation. That's what he stood by.
He saw also the sureness of salvation. All the uncertainty disappeared. The sureness that God's full and free salvation was his filled his soul. You see, the teaching of Rome provided more questions than answers. All of the uncertainties were gone. When he trusted in Christ, his sins were forgiven on the basis of Christ's work on the cross, the finished work, and he knew beyond any shadow of a doubt that he was a child of God. He could say with the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Masses and penances, the confessional priests, prelates, bishops, popes, emperors, edicts of Rome, councils, could not provide such assurance. But salvation in Jesus Christ brought this calm and sweet assurance to his soul. He was at peace. He was at peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, for Christ is our peace. And those who trust in Christ have this peace. Have you trusted in Christ today? Have you this peace in your heart? And then he had the peace of God that passeth all understanding, filling his heart and mind through Christ Jesus. The great Protestant Bishop of Liverpool, J.C. Ryle, said this, assurance enables a child of God to feel that the great business of life is a settled business. The great debt, a paid debt. The great disease, a healed disease. The great work, a finished work. The assurance of salvation. What a wonderful thing it is to know that you're saved. And Luther knew. He stood for salvation. He said, here I stand. The assurance of salvation, the assurance of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you this assurance tonight? But then the second thing he stood upon was not only salvation, he stood upon Scripture. He said, here I stand, I can do no other. May God help me. Amen. When asked at the Diet of Worms by John Eck, do you acknowledge these books? And he pointed with his finger to a pile of volumes on the table. Do you acknowledge that these books were written by you? And secondly, are you prepared to retract and disavow the opinions you have advanced in them? There were 20 volumes on the table. The titles were read out, and this done, Luther now spoke. His bearing was respectful. His voice was low. Some members of the Diet thought he trembled a little. They fondly hoped that a retraction was about to follow. Luther said this, most gracious emperor and most gracious princes and lords, the books that you have just named are mine. As to the second question, seeing it as a question which concerns the salvation of souls, and in which the Word of God, than which nothing is greater in heaven or in earth, is interested, I should ask impudently, were I to reply without reflection, I entreat your Imperial Majesty with all humility to allow me time that I may reply without offending against the Word of God. Of course, Luther's enemies wrongly thought his request for delay was an indication that he was going to retract. On the contrary, this pause was the act of a man whose mind was thoroughly made up. He was not for moving. There would be no compromise. But rather, a holding fast to the Word of God, to the Scriptures of truth. The Diet deliberated, and a day's delay was granted to Luther. The next day, April the 18th, 1521, he must appear before the emperor, the assembled estates, and give his final answer.
But upon his return, men and women, there was no such retraction. They demanded a direct and precise answer, and that is exactly what they got. He stood true to the Scriptures, to the Word of God, not tradition. Not the Bible as Rome interpreted it, but the Bible, the inspired Word of the living God. The God-breathed Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. God's divine revelation set forth in the sacred canon. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 19 to 21. And it reads like this. Listen to the words of Scripture tonight, what it says. It says this: we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You see this Bible? It is the true Word of God. It is the God-breathed revelation. Men wrote this book as they were moved, or as they were borne along by the Spirit of God. Luther was not adding to or taking away from Scripture. We are not to add to or take away from Scripture, Revelation 22, 18, 19 says. His conscience was captive to the Word of God. His final answer at the Diet of Worms was no. No to Rome and its dogmas. No to its traditions. No to all of its false teachings. And yes, to the clear and plain teaching of Scripture. Here was a man, dear friends, who was made strong by the God of heaven, who stood upon the impregnable rock of Holy Scripture, the foundation of God's precious Word. And that's where we stand tonight, upon Scripture. That's where we must continue to stand. Though it's 500 years on from Martin Luther, from the stand he took, the Diet of Worms. We must continue to stand into the future, God helping us. Luther immersed his soul in the Word of God. Following the Diet of Worms, he ended up in Wartburg Castle, isolated by Rome, who sought to stifle his usefulness and his effectiveness. What is he doing in Wartburg? Is he idling away his time? No, he's not. He's working away in solitude. He produced various works during that time in Wartburg on the 67th Psalm, for example, a commentary on the epistles and gospels for the year. But a greater work than all of these did Luther do in his seclusion. You see, there is one book, the book of books, the Bible. It was specially needed at this particular juncture in the Reformation movement. It was to that book Luther gave attention. He wished that his countrymen would possess in their own tongue the translation of the New Testament, and he completed it. You see, Luther's captivity, my friends, was the liberation of Germany. Its nations at that time were sitting in darkness, but the light from heaven shone upon them. A new day came with Luther's work upon the Holy Scriptures. For what would the Reformation have been without the Bible? What would the Reformation have been without the Bible? God's precious Word.
And from innumerable testimonies to the beauty of Luther's translation of the Bible, I select but one tonight, and that of Prince George of Anhalt. Given a public testimony, he said, "What words can adequately set forth the immense blessing that we enjoy in the whole Bible translated by Dr. Martin Luther from the original tongues? So pure, so beautiful, so clear is it, by the special grace and assistance of the Holy Spirit, both in its words, in its sense. It was as if David and the other prophets had lived in our own country and spoken in the German tongue. From this version of Martin Luther, many learned doctors have acknowledged that they had understood better the true sense of the Bible from this than from all the commentaries that had ever been written upon it." Luther said, "Here I stand." He stood for Scripture. And that is one of the solas of the Reformation, sola Scripture. Standing for the Word of God. If you visit Worms today, you will find there a statue of Martin Luther. He is standing with the open Bible. The Word of God was at the very heart of Martin Luther's faith, his belief. But my friend, he stood and he could say, "Here I stand," because of his supplication. You see, Luther was a man of prayer. During the day's delay in the Diet of Worms for his reflection, he was seeking the Lord's face in prayer. Let us draw near to the closet door and hear his groans, his strong crying as he sought the face of God. And they reveal to us tonight the deep agony of Luther's soul. He could be heard pleading with God and saying, "Stand at my side for the sake of thy well-beloved Jesus Christ. Who is my defense, my shield, my strong tower?" Again he cried, "I will never separate myself from thee, neither now nor through eternity. Though the world should be filled with devils, though my body, which is still the work of thy hands, should be slain, should be racked on the wheel or cut in pieces or reduced to ashes, my soul is thine. Yes, thy word is my assurance of it. My soul belongs to thee. It shall abide forever with thee. Amen. O God, help me. Amen." And these were just some of the pleadings of the heart of this man of God, Martin Luther. He was in holy ground, in communion and conversation with the God of heaven. You see, Luther, my friends, was a mighty man of prayer. He spent several hours each day in prayer. He said, "This prayer is that mightiest of all weapons that created natures can wield." Again, he said, "As it is the business of tailors to make clothes and of cobblers to mend shoes, so it is the business of Christians to pray. Oh, that the Church of Christ today would recognize that. We have left prayer to the side. Even this church, we have failed in the place of prayer. We have failed. Even with the pandemic, there is no greater burden for prayer amongst us, is there, tonight? Let us challenge our hearts. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The secret of the success of his ministry was the time he spent in the secret place of God. He was a man with power because he was a man who knew how to pray. And he could stand for God. And he could say, "Here I stand," because he'd been in the presence of God. Is that where you stand tonight? Stand where Luther stood, place of prayer. But he stood and he said, "Here I stand, speaking God's word." You see, Luther was a preacher of the word of God. He was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He was a preacher.
And whether it was at Wittenberg or Worms or wherever he traveled, it was he who was forthrightly preaching the Word of God. He said this, the highest form of worship of God is the preaching of the Word, because thereby are praised and celebrated the name and the benefits of Christ. Well, the preaching of the Word is so essential. He was fearless in his preaching. He denounced the errors of Romanism. He exposed the falsehoods of popery. He focused the minds and hearts of his hearers on the truths of the gospel of Christ, away from the traditions of men. He was a preacher of the word. What Ulster needs tonight, friend, is a race of men who are preachers of the word. What this nation needs, this world needs tonight, is preachers of the word. The Bible exhortation to all ministers is preach the word. He was fearless in his preaching. He was fervent in his preaching of Christ, seeking to point people away from the church to the great head of the church, not a priest or bishop or pope, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He preached Christ and him crucified. John Calvin, the great reformer, said, preaching in the public is the public exposition of Scripture by a man sent from God, in which God himself is present in judgment and in grace. Luther was truly a man sent from God, like John the Baptist. Luther said, I preach as if Christ was crucified yesterday, rose from the dead today, and is coming again tomorrow. He was fervent in his preaching. But my friend, he was not only fearless in his preaching and fervent in his preaching, but he was faithful in his preaching. There was not one degree of unfaithfulness in the ministry of Martin Luther. My friend, we must be faithful unto death, as far as preaching the Word of God is concerned. If I die tonight, friend, I trust that I have been faithful from this pulpit and everywhere I have gone in preaching the Word of God, in telling you tonight, if you're not saved, that you must be saved, in urging you tonight to come to Christ. He was on fire in his preaching. He was on fire for God. The fire of God was burning in his soul. He knew what it was to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Dr. Paisley used to use the words, if there's a fireman in the pulpit, there'll be no snowman in the pews. J.C. Ryle said, if you want to warm a church, put a stove in the pulpit. Oh, may this pulpit ever be on fire. Luther was on fire. What warmth there was in his preaching. It impacted upon so many. Multitudes were moved by the Holy Spirit and brought to saving faith in Christ. And the impact of that teaching is still felt today throughout the world. The impact of the Reformation is still felt today. Oh, that we might resolve, as Luther resolved at the Diet of Worms 500 years ago, here I stand. May you stand, may I stand, where Luther stood. May it be so for the Lord's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that thou wilt write thy word upon our hearts tonight. O God, we pray thou wilt help us to quit ourselves like men and be strong. Give us that resolve that Martin Luther had, to be strong in the faith, once for all delivered unto the saints. Bless us tonight, we pray. Meet with us, O God, meet with those who are not saved, and draw them in saving faith to Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Return in our hymn books to, well, you can look at the screen, but it is in the hymn book, the hymn that you will see, 535 in the hymn book, but it's on the screen. Rejoice in the Lord, oh, let his mercy cheer. He sunders the bands that enthrall.
redeemed by his blood, why should we ever fear, since Jesus is our all in all? Remain seated as we sing. God has spoken to you, you're not saved, you're not a Christian, you'd like to speak more about these things, to feel free to, we can speak a social distance with you about these things, or you can contact us by phone and we can talk to you about the things of God. Don't leave tonight without making your need known to us. We'd be glad to help you from God's word tonight. May God bless you and thank you for coming tonight. Father, we pray that you'll bless us as we separate. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen.